As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
To coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe on the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturer's Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. A presentation of Subaru Canada. We are your national radio motorsport authority, the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Jacob Smith returning, subbing for Lisa Pileski as our supreme commander in Raceline Master Control. Ryan Clark in charge of all network necessities. Coming up, still counting down to the only Canadian stop on the IndyCar schedule, the Honda Indy Toronto, July 15, 16, 17. We get more preview with hometown hero James Hinchcliffe. Is this the year the mayor of Hinchtown finally cashes in? Canadian Tire Motorsport Park co-owner Hall of Famer Ron Fellows reflects on their big IMSA sports car show. We cover another major attraction across the network as well, the July 31st All-Canadian Championship at Humberstone Speedway. Steve Petty is on the phone to promote one of the oldest dirt track traditions in Canada. And we once again get to more of your entries for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance at the grand prize pack in the race wrap. Joseph Newgarden uncatchable at Iowa. Hamilton solid in Silverstone slot for two in a row. Well, Keselowski is the king of Kentucky for two in a row. So for race fans across Canada, U.S. border states, and around the world, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Lewis Hamilton, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master. Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? Like gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
The good people at Jack Links know a thing or two about perfection. And perfection is on full display with their new small batch jerky. Handcrafted and slowly smoked. With savory flavors like teriyaki and peppered, Jack Links small batch will leave you speechless. And probably crying tears of joy. Because it's good. So good. Sometimes the best things in life start small. Try the new small batch bacon jerky. Available in stores now.
Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. TISO is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized TISO dealer. For more information, visit TISOWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T watches.com. TISO, Swiss watches since 1853.
Eric Thomas, it's Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, with Raceline Race Wrap and more good sales news off the top from our friends and partners at Subaru Canada Inc. An outstanding June, yes it was. Over 4,700 vehicles sold, a hike of 10.7%. Subaru's high-performance WRX STI, featured right here on the Raceline Radio Network, celebrating its best June ever with an enormous increase of 54.4%. That's 366 STI sold in June. Nice work all, and proud as ever to be part of of Subaru's monster sales success. And, of course, huge thank yous to all of you for your purchases and your continued support. Raceline Radio Network News, another wee reminder. You can now listen to us in High Def FM, AM 900 CHML Hamilton 95.3 on Channel 3. And now co-flagship affiliate Sportsnet 590 The Fan, now available as well at 92.5 FM on HD Channel 3. It's all good, and it's crystal clear. Formula One, British Grand Prix at Silverstone, started in the rain behind the safety car, dried up later, but didn't stop native hero Lewis Hamilton from controlling this thing for his second GP win in a row. Lewis has now won four of the last five to chop Nico Rosberg's points lead down to only 4 points. It might be more. Merck teammate Rosberg finished second at Silverstone at the flags, but the stewards penalized him for illegal radio info from the team when his gearbox started to go away. Max Verstappen, a plucky third for Red Bull, but elevated to second. This is still up in the air because Mercedes is going to appeal the whole thing. F1 file getting as excited as the man possibly can. Kimi Raikkonen telling his Ferrari decided they're going to hang on to the former champion to toil alongside Vettel next year. There have been strong rumors Ferrari was trying to lure Jenson Button away from McLaren. Nope. Kimi's inconsistent performances also food for speculation, but the Finn is secure in the red cars through next year, officially. NASCAR Sprint Cup, another summer night run, this one at Kentucky. Penske's Brad Keselowski very low on fuel when he surrendered the lead with six to go, got it back three laps later, and just had enough gasoline to fend off a rapidly closing Carl Edwards for Keselowski's second win in a row, fourth of the season. Edwards second, Ryan Newman finished third. Cup points into New Hampshire. Kevin Harvick, ninth in Kentucky, now leads Keselowski by only four. Cup clippings, despite crashing out of Daytona, like just about everybody else did, Tony Stewart still grabbed enough points to crack the top 30 and is now on the provisional NASCAR Chase playoff grid. Smoke won Sonoma, but also needed to get inside the top 30 to become playoff eligible. Call it absurd. Some accuse NASCAR of fixing outcomes again so Stewart can make the chase in his retirement year. No, not even NASCAR would stoop that low. And if you think you can tell me and convince me how you'd get everybody on the racetrack to play along with a race fix, I invite you to try. NASCAR Xfinity Series at Kentucky, Kyle Busch, 81st career series win. Yeah, he's pretty good there. The trucks were there, too. William Byron, his fourth win of the season. Canada's Cameron Haley for Sportsnet 960, The Fan Calgary. A nice six to stand 11 in truck points, just seven outside the top 10. IndyCar on the Iowa Oval, and a dominating day for American Joseph Newgarden for Ed Carpenter, who led proceedings from lap two onwards. A third career win for him. Nice recovery from that shoulder injury at Texas. Will Power finished second. Scott Dixon was third. Canada's James Hinchcliffe started tail 22nd. Terrible qualifying. Bounced back to arrive in the top 10. He finished 9th. IndyCar points still being tabulated. Canada's James Hinchcliffe, just mentioned him, had to miss his hometown scamper last year recovering from his Indy 500 injuries, so he's anxious to get back to the lake, even though home ice, as it were, has not been kind to the Oakville native. Hinch would sure like to break out in Toronto for once.
It'd be nice. It would be nice. Yeah, that home court advantage doesn't seem to be working in my favor so far in my IndyCar career.
Coming up in our second guest segment, Maury Hinchcliffe, Toronto Indy Preview. We're one-on-one with him there. Indy Lights at Iowa to Carlin Racing's Felix Sorelis. Canadian finishes ninth for Stouffville's Dalton Kellett. Montreal's Zachary Clayman DeMello arrived 8th. Grimsby's Garrett Grist skipped this event so he'd have a ride in Toronto. IMSA Sports Car Championship, the lone Canadian stop at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Grand time had by all. Winning prototype and first overall, the Dane Cameron Corvette, a PC win to the Colin Braun Orica, GTLM victory to the Ryan Briscoe 4GT, GTN win to the Jens Klingman BMW, and very nice to see, by the way, Joanne Villeneuve, wife of legend and the late Joe Villeneuve, as the Grand Marshal for that event. Speaking of CTMP, co-owner, Hall of Famer Ron Fellow, so prolific and successful in these cars himself, says this weekend in particular at his place is one of the best things that happens to him all year.
Having spent 10 years racing, driving, and still involved now, it's near and dear to my heart. And certainly, the GT Le Mans class right now has been nothing short of spectacular in terms of the racing. I think it's the best racing on the planet.
And I second that emotion. NHRA Drag Racing Chicago winners Antron Brown, Top Fuel, Jack Beckman, and Funny Car, Greg Anderson, your Pro Stock winner. The Rally News is a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. He is in fine voice. FIA's World Motorsport Council, pardon me, will not allow privateer teams to enter next generation World Rally cars next year. It means private drivers must be entered by a manufacturer. VW, Hyundai, Toyota, and Citroën will focus on three factory cars each next year. Faces in the pits. Very sad to hear legendary race team owner Carl Haas has passed away in his 86th year. He had been battling Alzheimer's. He joined forces with the famed American actor Paul Newman and with Mario Andretti, synonymous with that family. They ran Mario for the rest of his racing career and then added son Michael. Other drivers who drove for the cigar-chomping, car-talking nice man included Canadian Paul Tracy and James Hinchcliffe, along with Nigel Mansell, Graham Rahal, the late Justin Wilson, Oriel Servia, and Sebastian Bourdais. Also sad to hear, former NHRA funny car driver Chuck Etchells has departed in just his 61st year, far too young. Etchells scored 13 NHRA funny car victories, best known for running the first four-second funny car pass in 1993. He did a lot of match racing in Canada, most of it with John Force. And Clinton Jeffrey at Oshkosh Speedway in AM 900 CHML coverage checking in to tell us former NASCAR regular Ken Schrader will race a UMP modified on Oshkosh Clay Friday, July 15. Schrader is a former Raceline Radio guest known to race anything and everything in his long career. He raced Winston Cup from 84 to 2013. And as we featured last week, don't forget Oshkosh is bringing in current NASCAR veteran Casey Kane to run back-to-back sprint car dates July 25th and 26th. The latter is a World of Outlaws show. And that's her for this week on the Raceline Race Wrap. Your questions, your opinions, your comments are always welcomed. Share ideas, thoughts, and opinions with your fellow gearheads across the network because your comments could win you the grand prize in our Subaru Raceline mailbag trivia contest. We get your emails, entries, and comments after a little while. All right, Jacob, let's do the pit stop. And once back to full velocity, we preview the All-Canadian Championship at Humberstone Speedway with Steve Petty. Then a little more Toronto Indy preview with hometownie James Hinchcliffe. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today, tomorrow, or any old day along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline Radio Network, this thing is. Eric Thomas doing most of the talking. I invite you to check out our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page, show guest schedules, a list of network affiliates, and broadcast times are all listed there for you. You can also follow us on Twitter at ET Raceline. The July 31st All-Canadian Championship at Niagara's Humberstone Speedway, Port Colborne, is one of Canada's oldest dirt track all-star, what they used to call sweepstakes races. It dates back to 1959. Big prizes up for grabs. It'll be an all-day, all-night party as the race teams and fans of the Niagara region in western New York and parts elsewhere make the trip to Humberstone for one of their biggest races of the year. The lowdown from Humberstone's track announcer and media relations director, Steve Petty, on Raceline Radio.
And I know you guys are very much aware of the event's history every time we talk about this event, right?
Oh, absolutely. When we plan out the schedule, we look Civic Holiday, and can't believe y'all Canadians less than 3 weeks away, and it is, we are getting everything ready, and it's going to be a great Civic Holiday weekend up there at Humberstone.
Steve Petty is the announcer and media relations director at Humberstone Speedway. We're promoting the July 31st All-Canadian Championship, one of the oldest special dirt track events in Canada. When it was first organized, Steve, it was called the All-Canadian. Did that mean all drivers were Canadian or had to be Canadian? I seem to remember, though, the race always had a big international flavor. I mean, you had a lot of teams, you had drivers and fans coming from across the bridges, mostly from New York State, because it was billed as one of the bigger, what were called in those days, stakes races. Does it still have that international feel to it?
It does. We have quite a few drivers coming up from New York and also northern Pennsylvania, northeastern Ohio as well. Plus, we had a couple of vintage car drivers last year from Nebraska and West Virginia.
Wow.
So we're hitting out the mid-states and the states, and it's taken off like a rocket ship. And we actually had a guy from New Zealand last year running in with the vintage cars as well. So it's
Wow.
Internationally, and it's going beyond just the North American borders.
Yeah, New Zealand is by far international, yeah, for sure. One of the attractions of the All-Canadian, Steve, it's an all-day, all-night party, really. I mean, the camping and the fun stuff that goes with that, plus there's entertainment, too. So it's not just what's on the racetrack. It's an all-encompassing event, isn't it?
It is. We have our party and fireworks show that'll take off as soon as the racing action's done on the racetrack. And it's the all-day deal. The All-Canadian will have time trials early afternoon. Then we'll start our normal racing action at 6:30. And it's a big old party, free camping for everybody. You just have to pay the adult admission price to get into the track. And it's a perfect weekend to go out camping, enjoy the Niagara region, and make sure you see us on that Sunday night for the All-Canadian Sunday Pacific Holiday Weekend.
Yeah, one thing that always struck me when you drive by there, you guys normally don't have camping, but when you drive by the facility on Highway 3 just outside of Port Colborne, the number of tents and campers is really quite amazing, and it's set up, you know, in the parking lot, basically. So, I mean, you use probably every nook and cranny of that place to get all the campers in, don't you?
Oh, we do, especially leading up into it. I remember going up there on a Friday night just to leave the trailer there, and there were already 15 and 20 trailers lined up in the property.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's basically the all weekend. They'll go out, they'll go racing or do whatever in the region Friday and Saturday night, come to Humberstone Sunday, stay over at camp, and take off again on Monday. It's like a mini Super Dirt Week is what we call it.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, the camping, trying to fit everybody into that little tiny parcel of land on Highway 3 between Miller Road and the city limits of Port Colborne.
Yeah, it makes it pretty cozy. Steve Petty, the announcer, media relations director, Humberstone Speedway. We're promoting the July 31st All-Canadian Championship. Full card of racing in this thing. Run it down for us. What divisions are we going to see when we come?
When you come, you'll see the Dirt Car Sportsman, our premier division. You'll also see the Rush Late Models, the Street Stocks running their Dual on the Dirt Championship race, one of their four big races, extra money, extra laps on the line for the Street Stocks. Plus our four-cylinder mini stocks, our four-cylinder trucks, and vintage cars are all part of the program for the All-Canadian.
Yeah, now we know how dry it's been in these parts, Steve. No heavy rain for more than a month now. Everything is brown and brittle. Fire bans are up all over the place. Putting in a dirt track in weather like this is never easy. How has the Humberstone track prep crew been faring with this? Because it's been pretty much the same for everybody. It's not easy when the clay is this dry.
No, but actually the surprising part is our surface has been probably some of the best that we've seen all year. In the last couple of weeks, we've been watering that thing pretty much nonstop. The pond's basically pretty much going to be running dry. Hopefully we'll get some rain in the next couple of days. And it's amazingly, the track has held up well. We've had the new layer of clay put in late last season, and so far it's working well.
Fans listening, Steve, to this who want to see what the All-Canadian Championship is all about, what can they just go to the website for ticket info?
They can. It's www.humberstonespeedway.com. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at New Humberstone, and follow us on Facebook, and everything is all right there, directions and ticket pricing and
perfect.
Anything you'll need to know about Humberstone, it's on there.
Steve, thanks for coming on with us to talk about one of the oldest and longest-running dirt track specials in Canada, the July 31st All-Canadian Championship at Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you very much for having me on, Eric.
Humberstone Speedway, Steve Petty, giving us the skinny on their July 31st All-Canadian Championship at Niagara Western New York tradition since 1959. Excellent to have Humberstone partnered with the Raceline Radio Network on News Talk 610, CKTB in St. Catharines. Thanks to Linda Costco and the gang at Humberstone for keeping those flags flying in 2016. All righty, Jakey, let's work another pit stop before we spin another round of the Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest. Then a little more Toronto Indy Preview with Master James Hinchcliffe. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Kenny Schrader. Raceline Radio returns in just a moment.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, Canada's national radio motorsport authority. I'm Eric Thomas. You're invited to
Have a peek at my Thomas Tales blog and the Canadian Motor Speedway website and my Thomas Tales columns and Inside Track Motorsport News Magazine and on the web on the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca. Away we fly once more with our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your chance to win that grand prize pack thing. We ask you Subaru trivia questions. You have to include the answer to those things in your email of commentary to qualify to go into the break drum, as we call her, for the official draw to win the prize pack. The winning entry is drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season, and the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of goodies from Subaru. New question as we're into July, and let us stay with the BRZ Sports Coupe, as the BRZ is the official Raceline Radio Network special events cruiser, don't you know? Here's the question. The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, give me the peak horsepower of that motor, and at what RPM is it achieved? All righty? The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, give me the peak horsepower achieved, and at what RPM is it achieved? Gotcha? Okay. Use Eric at racelineradio.ca. That is Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email in. You spell Eric with a capital E and a small K, and you don't ever, ever put a space between Raceline and a radio. Let us go to the mailbag and a very nice letter we have from Wayne Bratton in Stony Creek, who listens, I'm assuming, and I hope it's correct to assume, on AM 900 CHML in Hamilton, not too far from the Stony Creek. He says, "Hi, Eric, longtime listener and fan of your show. Eric, there is something that I really do not understand anymore in regards to some of the short track asphalt speedways in my area. There is no more souvenir race program available to the fans." Well, I can tell you this, Wayne, it's not just the asphalt tracks, it's dirt tracks as well. Because I've noted this and have talked about this in the past as well. I used to sell these programs at the old CNE Speedway, at the X in Toronto, and Pinecrest Speedway in the Toronto area as well, way back when. This was great because the fans could keep track of their favorite driver, and this created a lot of interest. There would always be a lucky number or two in there to win a prize, plus a profile on every driver. These days, there's no program for the fans, and I really think the promoters are the losers in this, because the fans will lose interest if they can't keep track of the point standings or their favorite driver. I realize there's a cost involved, ET, in selling these things, but if they lose the fans, there will be no more racing, period. And he makes a pretty good point here. On another somewhat related issue, I cannot agree with, and that is the motel owners hiking their room rates high just for a night in areas around racetracks and racetrack events. It's not fair to the average fan to be paying over $200 for one night stay. Wow, you can find a hotel or a motel room around a NASCAR race for $200, camp there forever. Because they're a lot more expensive than that, I can tell you. The cost, he goes on to say, to watch a NASCAR race live in person is very high for a lot of folks, and they just can't afford to do that. I can see on TV empty seats at NASCAR races. Oh, yeah, you're not the only one noticing that. Last article I read from a magazine I subscribed to, he goes on to say, that NASCAR has taken out something like 440,000 seats in total from all the sanctioned speedways. Yeah, from Daytona on up, because they can't fill them, so they take them out. Yeah. Anyways, Eric, I always do a great job on your show. I listen every time you're on. Thank you for keeping the sport of auto racing interesting, and I just really enjoy your show. Thank you so much, Wayne. Take care and enjoy the races this summer, he goes on to conclude. And thank you, Wayne, for your note on Stony Creek listening on AM 900 CHML in Hamilton. Yeah, the program thing is something that we've talked about before, and not every track has done away with them. When I was a kid going to the racing, and that's a long time ago, that's back in the 60s, you used to always have a track produced and printed program. It had driver profiles in there, and not just the top drivers. It had, you know, drivers from the support divisions that were there, and the families and fans liked to see that. There was always a few lucky numbers in there. You could win hot dogs and pop and passes to the next week's racing. Then it kind of stopped when it became cost prohibitive to do that. It became expensive to not only come up with the format for it and to do the articles and hire someone to do that, to get it to the printer, then get it back from the printer in time, get it back to the racetrack. You got to hire and pay for hawkers to go into the grandstands and sell these things. And then when things like the Gator Racing News came around and became prolific, there were standings in there sometimes. And that sort of took the place of the program at most racetracks across the country. And then Gator Racing News kind of went away. I know there are a few tracks and exceptions to this rule. Ransomville Speedway still produces their own program. They're, of course, in Southern Ontario, Western New York. If you're around a racetrack that has a program that's produced by the track itself, drop me a line, eric@racelineradio.ca. Let me know what those tracks are. Because I think you're right. I think that's one of the things that fans miss. And I think it really brings the fans closer to what you're doing at your racetrack if you do your own
program. I know about cost prohibition, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're looking to kick up your promotion to think about getting a cheaper way to get your actual own program out there. So here's the question that you need to answer to get in here with your entry. The four-cylinder Subaru boxer engine that powers a Subaru BRZ sports coupe. Give me the peak horsepower and at what RPM. Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to connect with your email. Eric spelled with a capital E and a small K. Okay? Let's do another pit stop, Jacob. Then the mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, and a little more Toronto Indy preview. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ sports coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Marco Andretti, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority for 24 consecutive seasons. Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network presented by Subaru. Eric Thomas, Jacob Smith is in for Lisa Pileski, our Supreme Commander in Raceline Master Control. Ryan Clark in charge of all network functions for us this week. Back to the traditional mid-July date for the IndyCar Series Toronto Indy this year, July 15, 16, and 17. 30 years of IndyCar in the city. Finishing off our event preview with a lone full-time Canadian driver in the series from nearby Oakville. Just had not had the best of luck at his hometown event, has he? No. Recorded at the start-finish line on the racetrack at Exhibition Place downtown Toronto, the mayor of Hinchtown, a good friend of the show in actual fact, James Hinchcliffe, back with us on Raceline Radio.
It's extra special to come to this click on the schedule.
No doubt. And it's extra special to come back, you know, after missing the race last year. I attended. I was happy about that.
I know that.
but no, I mean, you know, this place, this facility, this track, this event has had such a massive influence on my life. You know, it made me a fan from a young age and got me obsessed with motorsports to begin with. And that obviously led me down the slippery slope and the tricky path that I've been down in my career. And I love coming back here. You know, I've said it for years. It's Christmas in July for me.
Yeah. 30 years of this in Toronto. And let's go back to the initial concept, because it was so cool that the guys that we were used to seeing battling at the Brickyard of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway were coming to your city. We're going to set up right over there where you are and race on your street. How cool is that? Is it still cool to do that?
100%. I mean, you know, for all the street races that we go to, this is the only one that I actually spend time in outside of the race weekend. Mm-hmm. And so I drive down these streets in my road car. And so when you get out there in the race car, it does have a different feel, you know, and it does still wow me a little bit. And, you know, we come to events at, you know, at the Energen Center here and, you know, at Exhibition Place. And to see our circus move in for, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, every year in July is it's still cool to see.
James Hinchcliffe on Raceline Radio previewing the event. When we last left Master Hinchcliffe, he was leading a race in Texas and the weather and the weepers didn't cooperate. We go back there in August to finish that with you leading. Has that ever happened before? Because that's an odd but true.
I don't believe that has happened before. I'm no statistician, certainly, but from what the Twitter sphere tells me, it's the first time that someone's led an IndyCar race for 77 days or whatever it is.
It's a marathon.
Right, you know, and I've raced other I have raced and will race other races in between then and now, but yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate what happened. I feel bad really just for the fans of Texas. We you know, I think we were going to put on a good show there, and the track was 99% ready to go. Mm-hmm. It was just a couple spots there that were being difficult. And, you know, we'll go back. At least, you know, we know we had a good car. We led, you know, not purely on pace, but on tire conservation, which, as we know, at Texas is huge. And so I think if we can go back and still play that game and still take care of our Firestones, we should be looking pretty decent.
Yeah. Circling it back, when we're airing this, you will have just completed the run at Iowa, and then we're into Toronto. How early do you start thinking about Toronto, or is there always that danger? You know, you hear the hockey players say, you know, it's not only just one game at a time, it's one shift at a time, one period at a time. Every track is different, every event is different, every application is different. When do you start thinking about Toronto?
You know, from a racing and an engineering point of view, you know, we wait till after Iowa for that very reason. You know, it's there will have been some stuff done in the off season, certainly, particular problems that came up over the last year, maybe the last 2 years, that we can address, you know, with sim stuff or visits to shaker rigs, things like that. So certainly some work will have been done in the off season, but. You know, this race, as much as I want to win it more than any of them, it pays just the same number of points as Iowa and same number of points as Texas, and so you do have to kind of take it one race at a time.
And the tragic comedy of this is your hometown race. You look forward to this more than any other, but this event has not been good to you. You've not had good luck at this place, and you know 90% of the grandstand is behind and watching everything you do. Why does it's racing? It happens, but it just seems to be ironic that it happens here.
You're not wrong, you know. And the other one that seems to absolutely have it out for me is Detroit, which is the next closest race to Toronto. Yeah. So it's the closer
Maybe
I get.
It's the Great Lakes. I don't know.
Yeah, the closer I get proximity to here, it just seems to hurt me. But we'll see. You know, I've not had great luck. Certainly, I've not had great cars. You know, we've never really been able to nail a setup here.
But there's no such thing as a perfect car here. You've told me that.
No, definitely. Finding that compromise in a car is extra challenging around here. And we'll see, though. I mean, it's statistically speaking, one of these years it has to go moderately well, at least. And I can't think of a better year than this one.
James Hinchcliffe on Raceline Radio talking about the Honda Indy Toronto. We've talked about this before, and driving in here on the streets, this ain't smooth anymore. It hasn't been smooth for a long time. So your shock damper guy becomes the hero. He ain't driving the car, but unless you've got the front wheels down to steer and the back ones to propel you forward with those darn patches of concrete, the whole thing goes out the window if your wheels aren't down on the ground.
You're not wrong, and it's a huge challenge here, absolutely. And you know, that's why we've sometimes seen we've seen dominant performances here, not super characteristic to other racetracks, because on a given year, a given team will come and nail the shock package. You know, we saw Ganassi do it a couple years ago.
With Dixon.
We saw Bourdais do it with Luxo Dragon or Dragon Racing, whatever it was at the time. Yeah. And it's a tricky place, there's no doubt. And, you know, what's tough is half the track was repaved back in 07. And so half of it's still pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. But then the other half is just, I don't think it's been touched since 86.
It hasn't, Hinch.
So it's massively challenging for the engineers, for the drivers. But that's the charm of this place. If they just went through and repaved everything, I mean, Toronto would lose so much of its character. And I think the drivers would actually like it less.
Yeah. And the one big change this year, we get so used to it being one way and the layout. The racetrack itself has not changed, but the pits certainly have changed. They have gone to the north side of what used to be pit road. The pit in is different. The pit out is different. The configuration of the pits is different. So there's some schooling to be done by everybody as soon as you get out there for your first warm-up and your first practice.
No doubt. You know, and anytime you switch pit lane, you switch pit lane lengths, things like that, it throws strategies, you know, up in the air a little bit. We gotta figure out what it's going to take us to get in and out of this place now. And it's kind of unique in terms of certainly street course, but even road course racing, we're having, you know, essentially a curved pit lane. You know, you see that at some of the shorter ovals, but it's a pretty unique characteristic now. So it's different, but I'm just glad that we kept the racetrack the way it always was. You know, there was some proposals that actually altered the last complex quite significantly, and we were staunchly against them, and I'm glad that IndyCar, you know, got their way on that.
Yeah. One of the things that happens when you're here in your hometown is Oakville, just a short drive down the highway, is that you're pulled here, there, and everywhere, but this is your hometown. How do you balance that between what you need to get done on the racetrack for the team and what you need to do for sponsors, friends, family, because that's all part of it too?
No, no doubt. I mean, the demands for this week are usually pretty stout, you know, but I've got a great team of people that really help me out with that. I suck at it because I'm terrible with time management and I can't say no to anybody. And so luckily I've got a good group of people.
Monica's good.
Monica's great. Yeah. You know, my assistant Fiona is incredible, and you know, my sister Rebecca is everybody's pitching in to kind of help make this as stress-free but as productive. You know, we do have commitments. We do have things that we have to do. We have things that we want to do. Yeah. But at the end of the day, my job here is to drive the race car.
How important is it to get with your teammate and debrief and compare notes? Because even though you've made more trips around here than your teammate has, there's always benefit in debriefing. Hey, you know what? I didn't realize that there. Let's try that there. You can never emphasize that too much, the value of that.
No, I think you're right. I mean, if you give engineers a set amount of track time like we get for practice before qualifying, they will inevitably come up with about 30% more things than we physically have time to do if everything went perfectly according to plan, which it never does.
Yeah.
And so having a teammate is just so valuable on these race weekends. You know, the track time is so limited. There are so many things we're trying that, you know, we'll split up that task list and try and get through it all in the time that we have in practice.
First couple of years, and back to a change here as we're getting low on our time, the automotive building was where the paddock was. It was inside. And for a number of years after that, it was outside in the heat. It's inside again this year. Does that change the vibe at all, being inside like that?
I think it does a little bit, yeah. I mean, I remember being a kid coming here and going into the building and seeing the cars and seeing the... And I like it's a bit more open, you know, not having the tents up. It kind of... It sounds silly, but it kind of does give fans a little bit more of an open feeling, a little bit more of a welcoming feeling, I think. Yeah. And the mechanics certainly won't hate being inside rather than outside in the heat, certainly. And I think it promotes that sort of fan-friendly vibe that that IndyCar is known for.
Best of luck with it. We know most of the grandstands are cheering for you. Let's much better luck in Toronto this time, Hinch.
Fingers crossed, E.T. Thanks, man.
Hinch had to skip the show last year, of course, recovering from those Indianapolis injuries, but let's hope there will be some renewed enthusiasm with the lad back out there this year. Let's just hope he can turn his luck around in Toronto. James Hinchcliffe on Race Line Radio. All right, Jacob, let's set out for that final pit stop, and then we'll come on back and ramp up next week's show and more for you on the last lap. This is Race Line, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Bobby Allison, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Raceline Across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. That white flag is aloft, meaning we're on the last lap. So here's what we want to do for you next week. Going to wrap up the 30th Toronto Indy with our IndyCar specialist friend from RacingNorth.ca, Stephanie Wallcraft, who was number one in the Roar by the Shore this year. And what did Hinchcliffe do? Was the attendance better? Is interest in the lone Canadian IndyCar street race still bouncing back? What effect did the return of the NASCAR Canada stock cars have on the event? Plus more of your entries for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Hugh Normus, Raceline thank yous going out to James Hinchcliffe, Ron Fellows, and Steve Petty. Thanks to Supreme Commander Jacob Smith for Lisa Pileski and Ryan Clark for ops and pre- and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Talk to y'all again next week, right here on Raceline Radio.